Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting.
Than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience.
With Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Parles-tu français?
Hablas español?
Parle italiano.
If you've used Babbel, you would. Babbel's conversation-based technique teaches you useful words and phrases to get you speaking quickly about the things you actually talk about in the real world. With lessons handcrafted by over 200 language experts and voiced by real native speakers, Babbel is like having a private tutor in your pocket. Start speaking with Babbel today. Get up to 55% off your Babbel subscription right now at babbel.com/listen. Spelled babbel.com/listen. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Since Sean thinks the Yankees only rely on analytics, I wonder what you would think if they relied on this website and its tool to create the optimal lineup. And basically, they take the stats of the players and they tell you, using mathematics, the most runs they would score with this lineup. And I warned you, you're not going to like what you hear, but it's going to prove something I have been saying for multiple years. So tell me if you'd be good with this if Aaron Boone announced the starting lineup tomorrow night in San Francisco featured, as I've tried to tell you, Aaron Judge leading off.
Told you.
Well, told you.
I don't mind
that. I tried to tell you.
I mean, it makes sense. The reasoning that you always give to why Aaron Judge to lead off is simply because he's going to get an extra at bat.
He's going to get potentially. He's going to get the most plate appearances, and if they decide to walk him, great. I got the leadoff man on. My chances of scoring are higher. Dodgers do it with Shohei Ohtani, but here's the rest of the lineup. I'm not sure Sean will like it very much. Judge leading off. Stop me when you're like really pissed, okay? I think Judge leading off, you could accept even if you disagree with.
Again, they only have three right-handed bats, so Boone can't possibly do that.
That's true. He likes splitting up the righties and the lefties. Tell me what you think of this lineup. Aaron Judge leading off, Cody Bellinger batting second, Trent Grisham batting third.
Okay.
We're still good. Jazz Chisholm clean up, Ben Rice five, Giancarlo six, Wells seven, McMahon eight, Caballero nine. You like that lineup?
I'm actually not, I don't mind that lineup.
Optimized. Now, for the Met fans
it's not
out
bad.
There.
If as long as you can get over Judge leading off. That's not a bad lineup.
If the Grisham batting third thing, I can't go with.
Why?
Why? He's already hitting leadoff.
Because I just don't.
Because of his history or because of. I mean, last year he had a fantastic
season. I know.
OPS is over 800 for the first time in his career.
I'm not benching him off of a bad spring training by any stretch. I just don't know if I want him in the middle of the order. I just don't. I just don't feel comfortable with that.
I mean, it's middle, but not really. It's kind of
batting third.
It's still top.
You're guaranteed a first inning at bat. You guarantee first inning at bats to your best hitters. Do you think Trent Grisham is one of their three best hitters?
He's going to lead off, though. So you do have an issue with the lineup.
I wouldn't build it that way. By the way, me saying I believe Aaron Boone makes the lineup and using information is good doesn't mean I blindly agree with the dopey lineup, Sean.
Okay.
What have I said? I love the Yankee lineup.
But
I haven't said that.
You're using a website that's going to use information that's telling you Trent Grisham should hit in the top three spots in the order.
It's also telling you that Aaron Judge should lead off. But here's the real my real favorite part. I put the Mets in. You guys want to guess who the leadoff hitter
Juan
is?
Juan Soto.
definitely Juan Soto.
So the website cheat code is best player hits leadoff. We figured it out.
Yes.
By the way, what's wrong with that?
Well, I think it's probably on base, right?
Yeah, I think getting on base and having pop is, you know, a good thing. They reward you for that.
Juan Soto.
I would leave Soto off. Their lineup, listen to this Met lineup. Tell me if there's anything wrong
Soto
with it.
Soto doesn't want to lead off. That's the issue.
I asked Mendy about that. He said he'll do anything for the team.
Really?
Including moving to left field. Yeah. Soto, Lindor, Bichette, Polanco, Simeon, Robert Jr., Alvarez, Beatty, Benj. It's not bad.
No.
I'd flip Alvarez and Beatty and we're good to go. That's what I would do. Bang! See? Sometimes information is good. Sometimes the information leads you down the right direction. But I'll make you this long-term prediction because we're not there yet. I don't think Aaron Boone is there yet. I don't think Carlos Mendoza is there yet. But they will get there. They will get there soon enough. The best hitters will eventually become the leadoff hitter. Like, we've already moved to where the best hitter bats second, and we've accepted that. Most people have. We will live in a world eventually when managers understand that your best hitter should be a leadoff hitter. It's the way it's always should have been, but sometimes change takes time.
Yeah, I just don't know if it's coming anytime soon to the Bronx.
5 years.
5 years?
Yeah, I give it 5 years, which means Judge may not be your best player in 5 years.
Yeah.
So you know what I'm trying to tell you is George Lombard Jr. is going to be your leadoff hitter in 5 years. Sean's shaking his head like, sounds good to me.
At this point, he better be.
All right, let's get to your calls. 888-808-1019. I assume everybody agrees with me, so we'll start it off with Randy in Brooklyn. Hey, Randy.
Evan, Tiki, good morning. I love you guys. Evan, I got to tell you, you drive me crazy at times, but you're the same guy that I would sit and have a beer and a hot dog and talk baseball all day.
Nice.
With that being said, you're flip-flopping.
How's
if that? You take the human let me just finish. If you take the human aspect out of it, okay, I do agree with you, knowledge is power. But how can you let analytics dictate how your team is going to run all the time? What do you need a manager? What do you need a head coach for?
Because they need to interpret information. Are you saying that a lineup and decision should just be made based on what then if you're not using information?
Well, no. I agree with the information, but you're hiring your manager. Would you take a Bill Belichick and a Parcells and put them all in one coach or manager in baseball, and would you let analytics run your team, or would you let that phenomenal manager run your team? You need knowledge.
Yeah, but I think you're taking the conversation and you're screwing around with it. Do you not think Bill Belichick and Bill Parcells used information? They interpreted it really well, and they made great decisions. And also, coaching in the NFL is far different, so I don't want to necessarily say it's apples to apples.
Right, because so much is dependent upon what a defense is going to do.
No doubt.
I think you're kind of missing the point, though, Evan. I think we're all in agreement you use information. What we're saying is there is no balance when it comes to the Yankees.
You're wrong.
It's just information.
No,
Belichick
that's not true.
Parcells would be information plus leaning on their gut. There's no gut instinct with the Yankees.
What makes you say that? What makes you think the Yankees use more information or analytics, the curse word, than every other team in baseball, other than you just feeling that way.
That is not what I said. Other teams may do the same thing. I'm not worried about those teams. I think they're doing it wrong as well. What I'm saying is, a perfect example, we went over, I guess we're going to lean on this because this became the story because Boone answered it, the Dominguez thing from last year. When a guy is riding hot and you're building momentum, just because the next day says, well, the starting pitcher does this and that, sometimes you got to lean on the hot and let him break through. Because guess what? Information is also based on this spot. If you just strictly rely on the information of guys in the past, you don't allow them.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
To kind of change the story on information if you never use your gut either.
Yeah, I think the Dominguez thing is a little bit different. And here's my conclusion I've come with Jason Dominguez. And maybe you guys have come to this conclusion a while ago. I don't think they believe in him.
No.
I just don't think they think he's any good.
I agree with you. I think they're waiting to see if somebody's going to come make an offer and he's likely going to get traded.
I kind of agree with you.
Then they don't believe in Spencer Jones either because he did more than enough last year.
No, hold on. And this is what I want to get to.
We haven't seen Spencer Jones.
Exactly.
But he still feels prospect-y. DeMartian isn't prospecty anymore.
Okay.
He should have made it already.
But
he hasn't.
We had a pretty big window last year when Aaron Judge got hurt, got put on the IL to see Spencer Jones, and they elected not to.
Well, here's what I'd say about Spencer Jones, guys, and obviously performance in AAA is going to matter. So I'm projecting what these guys are going to do in the minor leagues. If there's an injury in the outfield or Trent Grisham is hitting 155.
Yeah.
The first call isn't going to be to Dominguez. I think it's going to be to Spencer Jones.
Feels like it.
And I think a big part of it is defense.
Yeah.
And I think that's a big part of why they don't like the player. So I think that leads to a different discussion. Yes, we had fun with Aaron Boone claiming you said something wrong. I fact-checked him. But the reality is, and Boone's not going to say it, and Cash isn't going to say it, I don't think they like the player.
Mm.
I think they've come to the conclusion that Jason Dominguez is not the Martian. He's not the guy they thought he was.
All right, so I did this, Evan. I did your baseball musings.
Yes, the lineup tool.
With the guys who I'm projecting to be, whatever, first, second, third, et cetera, DH. Here's my lineup.
Yes.
best lineup. Jose Caballero.
Excuse me?
Leading off.
What?
He's got to play shortstop.
Oh, I know why you did that. You probably just included his Yankee numbers, which was a small sample size.
Yes.
He can't lead off.
It doesn't matter. This is what I got. I did last year's year numbers from all the guys that I think are going to play it this year.
And keep in mind, Caballero was only here for like 5 minutes.
Exactly. Aaron Judge, which is normal.
Yeah.
Trent Grisham is consistently at third.
Jeez.
Same with yours. Same with mine. The top four or five lineups is Trent Grisham batting third. Giancarlo Stanton cleaning up, Ben Rice, Jazz Chisholm in the six hole, Cody Bellinger, Austin Wells, Ryan McMahon.
Yeah, I can't get past Caballero one and Grisham three. One thing that...
This is a fun little tool.
I told you, these tools are fun. One thing that was said in the Chris Kirshner piece in The Athletic, which I thought was interesting and Sean has a problem with, but I totally understand, is that when Aaron Boone makes a lineup decision, especially one that involves a veteran player. And the example they used was last year in the postseason, they sat Jazz Chisholm against Garrett Crochet, as you recall, and Ahmed Rosario made the start. Boone, because it's a star-ish player sitting, will inform Brian Cashman, hey, I want to give you a heads up, I'm sitting Jazz Chisholm. And the reason Cashman wants to know is so that if he gets a call from an agent saying, why is my client not playing, he's not going to be blindsided. Or if Joel Sherman calls him up and says,
right.
He wants to be ready for it, which I completely understand. I don't know why one would be against that.
Yeah, it gives you the indication, though, that Aaron Boone is the one making the lineups. That's why that little piece of that story is inserted.
Oh, well, but it's, do we think it's not true?
I mean, I'm gonna assume yes, because he said it.
Yeah.
And it was reported. So I'm trusting the... I don't know, legitimacy of the reporting.
No, you're trusting that Aaron Boone isn't lying to you.
Yes.
And that's really what it comes down to. Comes down to, you think he's a liar, or you think he's telling you the truth?
Shut up, Tubby.
Do you have a problem with Boone telling Cashman and giving him a heads up that they're going to sit Jazz Chisholm in a playoff game?
I don't, but I also think that this is something, again, when Brian Cashman says, like, oh, you know, whatever, I need to get involved, ask Joe Torre. Joe Torre is not telling Brian Cashman that he's sitting Jazz Chisholm in a playoff game. You know what I mean?
Sure, and I'm going to counter with, it's such a different era now. Like, I'm not sure that Cecil Fielder's agent was going to call up the general manager to complain about not starting in a playoff game, while in 2025, and this is not a knock on Jazz Chisholm, I think every player would be in this regard, it's just likelier that you're going to deal with maybe the blowback from an agent.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if it's the same apples to apples comp using Joe Torre from 30 years ago.
And I would counter that. I would counter that by saying I know that's different than making a lineup, but I think that's also the point that Yankee fans have made. It's not the same based on all the information and the general manager being involved. And I think Brian Cashman wants to have his cake and eat it too with how he's involved and how he's not. That's the point. It is different.
Let's go to Mark in Huntington, New York. What's up, Mark?
How's it going, guys? I'm coming down sort of firmly in the middle between you two.
That's all right.
I'm taking a stand here. you know, I'm sure you guys know this, but I guess you have to kind of look at information, to me at least, is weighted. Some is more valuable than other information.
Right.
And also, it's all about the context, when and where it's used, how it's used, and it has to be situational as well. And I think back, and I'm sure Evan will know what this is, a few years back, there was a game, either a playoff game or a World Series game, where a pitcher was pulled because of analytics.
Blake Snell, Tampa Bay Rays, 2020. Yeah.
That's the one. And you basically saw his teammates deflate. So somehow, you have to work emotion and reading the room into the equation.
You're right, but that's also how Cash got his... That's how he got them there.
Right? Yes, Kevin Cash, by
Kevin
the way.
Cash, yes. That's how he got them there.
Yeah, Blake Snell didn't go deep into games. Like, his deepest performance that season was 5 2/3 innings. Mm. Like, the most pitches he threw, he had over 100, like, three times. It wasn't something that he was doing
so
very often.
So what were the circumstances of that World Series game?
Well, he pitched into the sixth inning. It was five, and it was basically what he... I hate to tell you this because I'm looking at the numbers. It was what he did in the regular season.
Okay, so but where was he?
It was the sixth inning. He had given up one run. He was at 5 1/3 innings, two hits, one run. The difference was his...
How many pitches?
73. It was a low pitch count.
Yeah.
So the pitch count...
That's why it made it feel egregious.
What made it feel egregious... Here's what really made it feel egregious. We weren't watching the Rays all season. And so what's egregious is 73 pitches in a World Series game when he's locked in?
Yeah,
while Kevin Cash could have said, hey, dude, I do this all year. Now, no one's saying that's right that he did it all year, because we've seen recently with Blake Snell, he could actually go deeper into games, as we've seen with the Dodgers. So they've treated him a little bit differently when he left Tampa Bay. But that was, and our last caller's right, that was like a huge deal. And I wasn't sitting there defending Kevin Cash by his stretch. It was just that we need to understand that this is what they did.
Right.
It was his normal.
It was his process. It's not that you're knocking him as a feel manager or gut feel manager, but it was just his process. It's what they did for years. And it's why, I mean, he's still the manager down there.
No, I know. I think he's one of the longest tenured managers in all of baseball. But it's tough to get nuts when you do something all year. It gets you to the place where you're in the sixth game of the World Series. And now everyone else who hasn't watched you all year is expecting you to do something completely different.
Right.
Do you have an issue with the fact, as Aaron Boone made very clear in this piece, or it's alluded to, that he really wants to split up lefties and righties when he can? You made a sarcastic comment about it earlier, Sean. Is that really such a bad thing?
But what's his reasoning for it?
Well, I can give you a reasoning without even asking Aaron.
Go ahead.
Like, with the three batter minimum, you don't want to give a relief pitcher an easier lane when it comes into terms of when they come into a game.
But what if you're, wherever you are in your lineup, just hits both sides really well?
Then I would not care about it quite as much. I agree with you, because there are certain players who, like Cody Bellinger is a great example. Cody Bellinger's numbers against lefties are very good.
Right.
So why would you be so crazy about needing to split him up when a lefty reliever comes in? You're kind of looking over saying, hey, Cody was actually better against lefties than righties. We're good to go. So I agree with you in a case like Bellinger. But for the most part, hitters tend to struggle when they're facing someone from the same hand side.
Of course.
And so what's wrong with that? And by the way, that's as old as time, too, that you would prefer to not have lefties all in a row.
No, I have less of an issue with that, but more back to like the roster building. Could we have used one more everyday righty this offseason?
Also, that's different. Now you're forming into the roster discussion with Brian Cashman.
Yes. They were pretty good.
Which leads me back to, again, the point I've made forever. My issue continues to be Brian Cashman more than Aaron Boone.
Yeah, but that's a different argument. Cashman building the roster and what he does during the offseason to build the right roster is far different than him being too handsy or the lineup being too reliant on analytics. That's not the same thing at all. So you're moving the goalpost, Sean.
No, it's not moving the goalpost, because it's all connected. Because as part of this, Brian Cashman, you can't tell me, doesn't try to be the smartest man in the room. Like, you guys keep talking about Trent Grisham hitting 130 and being, like, sent down. You watch. Trent Grisham, if he does, and I actually hope he does.
He would not be sent down, by the way. He cannot be sent down.
You know what I mean?
I meant benched. Benched. Yes.
Okay. My point is, this is where he will have the input on the lineup. He spent the money on Trent Grisham. This isn't the first time he spent money on a guy who will struggle. He ain't going to go, if he goes 3 weeks with sucking, they're not going to go, here's Spencer Jones. Brian Cashman, because he did this in the offseason, will talk to Aaron Boone, and they will let Trent Grisham go 8 weeks of sucking before they do that.
Well, it's a very fair question to ask, also trying to be fair. How long should Trent Grisham get before Aaron Boone says, I can't play you every day?
I mean, you owed him to be your center fielder.
Yeah, but you can't think about it that way, because that's exactly what Sean's saying.
But they do it. This is Aaron Hicks.
Forget about what they've done and forget about what they do. Let's talk about what they should do. We're sitting around as baseball guys. Let's have a conversation instead of just assuming, well, they're not going to do it.
I mean, but he's also a veteran. And so how much of this is trusting a veteran to be a veteran and get out of it?
You can't do that when the year before that he hit 190 and the year before that he hit 198 and the year before that he hit 184.
But not last year.
But that's one year. I just gave you the last 3 years.
I understand that.
But so you're going to trust last year more than the last 3 years?
Last year is your only experience with him.
No, the year before that. The year before that, he was here, played half the games, hit 190.
Yeah.
And oh, by the way, rode with Alex Verdugo while he sucked because you had to prove that you really wanted him and you were smart in trading for him. Rode the last 2 years with Anthony Volpe while he stunk.
I got to be honest. I didn't even know that I don't even remember Trent Grisham being on the team.
Most people forget.
You know why you don't remember, Tiki? Because they didn't, you know, while they love him now, give him a chance while Verdugo stunk because they had to keep playing Verdugo.
Okay. You're very bitter. Can we try again?
Because let's just
try.
I'm right. No, I'm bitter, Sean, when I'm right and I get pulled
along. Because he's giving the examples of why he feels this way.
Okay. Let's try this one more time. We'll be very peaceful. Let's say Trent Grisham, and I hate to be negative, but I think we have to have these discussions.
He could hit 300 this year.
He could hit 350. He could be amazing. I hope he does. All right, I got nothing against Trent Grisham, especially to prove you guys wrong. Let's say
he's not hitting 350.
No, I know that. Let's say spring training continues. And Trent really struggles.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about a player who's a career 218 hitter. You're talking about a player that last year feels like an outlier season when you look at the rest of his career. So you're not talking about someone with a long track record where you say, hey, look, you got a long track record. I'm going to give you time. Jorge Polanco has a track record. The Mets are going to give him time, rightfully so. Cody Bellinger has a great track record, even though it's been up and down. You're going to give him time. Trent Grisham is not that guy. I don't care how much money he's making. And for the sake of this, we're talking about what we would do. How long would it take before you say, you know what? He's not hitting. I got two guys in the minor leagues who can bust onto the scene.
A month.
I completely agree with you. May 1st, right?
Yep.
May 1st. Totally with you. On May 1st.
May the 1st be with you.
On May the 1st. And it's not about DFAing him. It's not because you're not going to do that. Not even saying you should. It's about saying you're no longer my everyday center fielder.
Right. That's a Friday.
That's a Friday?
Yes.
Who they play that day? We know that.
I can look that up. I just know it's a Friday.
It's a Friday. But that would be the day. It's a little bit more than a month because obviously the season starts a few days earlier than April 1st. Starts tomorrow, March 25th. I completely agree. I think for someone whose sample size in his career trends mostly as not good.
Average as a hitter.
I mean, you're being very kind.
Mm-hmm. And let's remember, while he had a great year towards the end of September and then all of October, he stunk. He went back to his means too.
Okay. If you want to include that, that is fair game for you.
While Jason Dominguez came up in the elimination day and ripped a double off the bench if they're not playing for 4 weeks.
So you're just mad that Cashman gave him a qualifying offer.
Yes. I know, but he can't get... We're trying to have an intelligent conversation. You keep
especially
whining.
When you had two kids in the minor leagues that were willing and ready to fill that void. Why even kill?
You're stoking the fire, T.J.
I'm just not. I'm explaining to you why Sean is so mad about this.
I know why he... No, you're missing my... I know why he's mad. I respect it. I'm asking, hey, it's the day before opening day. Let's have a nice, calm conversation on when we would bench this man if he wasn't performing.
I think a month is right.
Okay.
Yes.
Tiki gave an answer. I gave an answer. You just spent 5 minutes bitching until you finally was like, a month is right.
I literally said it before the last segment. I said 3 weeks,
didn't.
4 weeks, and then we got to pull the plug. I
so
gave
May
you the
1st
answer.
Is your date?
Yes.
Okay. I agree with you.
And actually, you know what? April 26th.
He's going to Truman. And here's what I would do for you. Even if we disagree about the way the sausage is made, even if we disagree on who makes the lineup, I promise you this, because you know you're not getting it from our fellow friend at 2 o'clock.
Suck it!
I mean, Craig May, but not the other guy.
Welcome to hell!
I will be your ally in using this microphone as a bully pulpit to demand that Trent Grisham sits and one of the kids come up. I'm with you.
Also feels dirty again because he's a Yankee and we want him to play well, but the point stands.
No. It's not that you're rooting
you're
for
hoping,
him.
You're hoping for him to have the same, a similar season that he did a year
exactly.
ago.
I want the money not to be wasted, but ultimately I don't want them to rely on the money as a reason why you continue to play him if he struggles.
Yeah, I think there's a middle ground that complicates it. Like if he's hitting .225 with a little bit of pop and a .732 OPS, like it's more in the middle in terms of what you do. But if he's just flat out bad, sometimes you have to ignore money. I mean, I give the Mets credit with Sean Manaea.
Right.
Sean Manaea makes $25 million a year. In fact, if you look at the entire Met rotation, I have to do some quick math on this. Sean Manaea almost makes more money than everybody combined. It's not true, but it's sort of close. He makes the most, I'll tell you that, of anybody in that rotation. He makes more than Nolan McClain. He makes more than Clay Holmes. He makes more than Kodai Senga. And he certainly makes more than Freddie Peralta, who makes nothing. I think he makes like $8 million.
He is at eight.
$8 million. I mean, Sean Manaea makes triple the amount of the top two guys in the rotation. And so
that's nuts.
It's nuts, but it's a
but that's baseball, though, and it just is what it is.
But it's also smart that they are saying we are not going to let the salary determine that he's in the rotation.
No, you're right.
And if
I think he earned his way out of the rotation.
And if Trent Grisham earns his way out of being the everyday center fielder, I'll be your ally.
Yeah, I would also say this also, can we just say, not just for Trent Grisham, if Austin Wells can't hit a lick this year and you want to catch Ben Rice and put Bellinger at first, I think there's other avenues here to get Spencer Jones and Dominguez up as well.
I understand. I get you. Let's go to the guy whose point is Evan is stupid. I look forward to that. You're very excited about that call, right?
I'm labeling these fun today.
Mike's down in Miami. Mike, explain why I'm stupid.
Because you don't put Judge one. Because... you want to put, let's say, for example, you have Caballero, Bellinger, Judge, Rice, Stanton. You want to have Judge get on base when people are on base. You want Judge to hit a solo home run in the eighth inning when we are down order two. No, you want him to hit a two or three run home run.
Why can't
you? Got Judge one, you bat two or three. That's what the analysts say. Your best power is you bat two or three, not one.
Why? I mean, the only time he's guaranteed to not come up with guys on base is in the first inning. After that, he could come up with guys on base every time.
Okay, but like when we had Soto and Judge, we like bat Soto two and Judge three. That's
why are you bringing up a guy that's not on your team? That's irrelevant. He's not on the team. If he was on the team, we'd have a different discussion on who's leading off. Keep this in mind. When you start a baseball game, let's use tomorrow night as an example. You're facing Logan Webb, one of the better pitchers in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Smart guy. Very smart guy, that Logan Webb. In the top of the first inning, what if he pitches around Aaron Judge? What if he says, screw this, I'm not dealing with him?
Yeah.
You got the first guy on base with nobody out. You know your chances of scoring just increased by a lot?
As long as whoever's behind him actually can put bat on ball.
Well, what if there's two outs and nobody on when Judge is hitting third and the same thing happens?
Yeah, then at least he maybe can hit a home run.
Where do you have a better chance of scoring?
I mean,
I just beat you on that one.
You did, but probably it ultimately is Judge hitting home run.
I understand. And then the other thing that really, to me, takes the cake is that you're guaranteeing that guy is going to get more plate appearances because there are going to be games.
I mean, that's the one benefit.
But that's a huge benefit.
But when you look at the back end of whoever this lineup is going to be for the Yankees, we don't know yet, but assume it's Wells and Ryan McMahon. Like, their on-base percentage is under 300.
So maybe you're making a mistake batting them ninth. Maybe you're not thinking about it the right way.
Hmm.
You know who should bat ninth?
Who?
Trent Grisham.
Hmm. Oh, now you sound like Tommy.
When did Tommy say Trent Grisham should bat ninth?
But you want to spread everybody out.
I don't want to spread everybody out. I want the ninth place hitter to have a high on-base percentage. It's very different.
I agree.
I look at the ninth place hitter as like my secondary leadoff man because the guy coming up after the ninth place hitter, like I would put my weaker hitters at 6-7-8 or 6-7.
6-7.
I didn't mean to do that. By the way, you know how many points St. John scored on Sunday?
67.
Yeah. Did kids make a big deal out of that?
You know what I had to put my cruise control on coming home the other day? 67.
Do you know how tall Aaron Judge is?
6'7".
Here we go. No, I don't want to spread my lineup out. I like having my ninth place hitter with a high on-base percentage because
To your point, that's Trent Grisham.
But that's not a crazy point.
Or Jose Caballero based on last season.
Yeah, it's a small sample size, but point well taken. And I think the same way with the Mets, which is why, you know who I think should hit ninth for the Mets?
Who?
Carson Bench.
I like it.
Who's on the team, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
We'll take more of your calls next. Plus, we'll have a discussion on Carson Bench. What are the realistic expectations for a kid who's making his major league debut on opening day? And oh, by the way, Carson, congratulations. You're going to make your major league debut and have your first major league at-bat against Paul Skeens.
This Fan Focus is sponsored by Chef IQ, precision cooking, effortless results, chefiq.com. What can only be described as the biggest disgraceful night for the Rangers at Madison Square Garden ever. The Blue Shirts mustered just 9 shots last night. Yes, 9 shots, the fewest in a game by an NHL team since 2003, and matching their franchise worst last accomplished in 1955. Their tank continues. And the tank of the Nets continues as they lost 134-99 in Portland last night. It's the Blazers' largest margin of victory in a game this year. So fun times for the Rare Ranger and Net fan combos.
This is going to stun you. So I hope you're sitting down over there.
I'm sitting.
All right. Big Mac. Very loyal, loyal coworker. He listens all the time. He's informed us that he will have a longer leash for Trent Grisham. Suck it!
Oh, Willie? Shocking.
Are you really buying a car online on AutoTrader right now?
Really?
At a playground?
Yeah, really. Look at these listings from dealers.
Wow, your search can really get that specific.
Really?
And you just put in your info and boom, car's in your budget.
Mom needs a second, honey.
You can really have it delivered?
Really? Or I can pick it up at the dealership.
Mom! One sec, sweetie.
Mommy's buying a car.
Mommy, look!
I think your kid is walking up the slide.
Kyle, again? Really?
AutoTrader. Buy your car online. Really? Really?